Well, Christmas has come early for me in particular on the show because we have a great person. I just died and went to heaven. He's here to talk about one of my favourite things. Welcome to the show, Angus Kennedy.
Thank you. It's a real pleasure.
It's my pleasure. We're talking about chocolate, and it is, along with Jim, one of my favourite things. Now, you're the author of a new book called Bittersweet. I believe that's a memoir.
Yeah, it's a memoir, and it's all about chocolate as well. So it's kind of two books in one. So I started writing one book, then another book, and it kind of came together. And it's worked out really well, actually. So it talks about striving over adversity, rags to riches. You know, it's got a bit of everything. But then, of course, it's got the chocolate element, which is really nice at Christmas.
Wonderful. Can I ask you briefly, obviously we want everyone to go out and buy the book, but briefly, what is your story, your rags to riches story?
Oh, well, I mean, it's a long story, and I think we all have stories, and they never end, you know, until the day we go. I mean, I'm still living it, but I think it's really about living the dream and what you want to do with your life and ignoring everything else around you and all the influences that you've had from a young age. So basically, I didn't really go to school. So it enabled me to have an open mind, which was one of my strengths now. So that enables you to be creative, and you know, when it comes to a working life, you know, you can create your future instead of, you know, being a, I don't know, for want of a better word, like a yes man. You know, you don't apply for things, you create them. And I think that's where, you know, a lot of people kind of fall down a little bit. You know, we're always expecting it to be better when we're just working and doing something that someone else wants us to do. So the book is kind of a bit like that, actually.
Yeah, I've got you. Because apparently your family, or your mum, ran the family magazine, which became the world's leading chocolate review publication.
Yeah, so it's family business. So I came into the family business, and we all got together as a family. But, you know, going back to the original story, when I was 10 years old, my father died of cancer, and then my mum became an alcoholic. Oh. So we had a whole load of things to deal with. But, however, you know, learning from all those lessons and being in the chocolate industry, it was really interesting because sometimes chocolate, confectionery, biscuits, the free samples, you know, if you're a journalist, you get sent lots of free samples, which is nice. We had some very nice ones this morning for Christmas, actually.
Oh, that's just nice. Cruel.
So, yeah, sometimes, honestly, the only thing I had to eat literally was chocolate, samples that came in. So it's really weird. You know, the industry kind of saved my life, you know. So and the book just came together, got published in the United States this year, which was a real wild ride, which kind of proved to me that if you focus on something, you know, with your mind, your imagination, you just let yourself, you know, relax, you can really achieve things. And I find that really fascinating.
Yeah, me too. So if you don't mind, Angus, I'm going to ask you some questions about chocolate, because as we've said, it's my favorite subject. so you can teach me. First of all, is it true that chocolate is known for fertility?
Yeah, this is a really good question. About a couple of years ago, the element of chocolate, they launched this chocolate brand called Acticoa, which came from one of the largest chocolate producers in the world. And this comes from phenols and flavanols that are inside the cocoa bean that are said, in inverted commas, to increase your circulation.
Okay.
I thought that was quite interesting. And if you go back a really long way, Casanova was said to have a chocolate mixed drink. And then if you go back even further, what I find really interesting is that the Aztecs, you know, the ancient civilizations had cocoa as a chocolate drink. Now, the word coca, you know, coca comes from, you know, the theobromine is theo, Roma, the food of the gods. So originally, and I think this is something that's been kind of needs a bit of research really, but the ancients used to take this as a kind of food for the gods.
Wow.
So like, what's all that about? So I think the original cocoa bean, without being roasted or anything, so I'm getting a bit advanced here, may have more to it than we realize, and perhaps we should be, you know, munching these original non-processed beans just to see what happens, you know. So I find that really interesting. So I do believe there is a bit of magic there. Yeah, definitely.
Well, it's great news for anybody that's trying to become pregnant.
Yeah, well, I mean, we have, I've got five children, so.
Oh, okay, that figures, yeah.
Yeah, so, but I think that's probably got something to do with champagne as well, kind of a bit of a mix.
Yes, I hear you like Marc de Champagne chocolate truffles, mm.
Yeah, that's another really interesting one, because you know Marc de Champagne, I didn't know this until quite recently, but that isn't actually champagne.
Oh, it's not from champagne.
It's a special type of liqueur that goes in to make champagne truffle. I didn't know that.
No.
That's really cool. Yeah, no. I know. Yeah, there's always something around there that I don't know, which is nice.
Oh, yes, me too, me too.
And what are your favourite chocolates going to be for Christmas? And are they going to be under the tree, or when do they come out?
Well, funnily enough, I've had some already. I've been back over to the UK to see my family, and they all know I love Galaxy. So I've had bars and bars and bars of Galaxy. I've had to leave some at my mum's because I couldn't carry it all back. So and my husband keeps trying to open it, and I keep slapping his wrist. Not till Christmas.
We tend to go back to the brands we weren't allowed when we were young. You know, so it's like this sort of what we couldn't have, we kind of go for in later life. Like, so, like, that's how that happens, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Galaxy's a nice smooth chocolate. I like that.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And like, do you know that 16% of the UK population have chocolate every single day?
No.
So Christmas will be just more. And
oh my goodness.
95% of the population have chocolate, you know, eat chocolate during the year. So it's basically the entire UK population. And we eat 12 kilograms a year, of which nearly a very high percentage, in fact, the biggest sales period now is Christmas and not Easter for chocolate.
I was going to say that. I would have thought Easter would have been bigger, actually. But it's Christmas, is it?
Yeah. It's Crikey. Overtaken. Yeah, it's overtaken. And we eat so much chocolate now, so much confectionery. We are the leaders in, actually, along with Ireland, believe it or not, this is per capita. So we've got Ireland, Germany's pretty good, so they're up with us, and the UK are all... We are downing loads of chocolate to the tune of 12 to 14 kilograms, which I think that's the weight of my sausage dog. But she doesn't like chocolate.
No, it's not good for dogs, is it?
So the alcohol to go with it, that's even more interesting. So I know you're looking at some alcoholic chocolates and things you can complement chocolate with, weren't you, for Christmas?
Yeah.
Well, one thing that is very interesting about alcohol, and okay, perhaps we shouldn't do this, but the reason why we like it is, do you know that alcohol has nearly twice the amount of calories per gram than sugar does?
Oh,
so
no.
If you mix alcohol and chocolate, so like brandy butter or something, brandy butter is classified as probably the most fattening product in the world.
Crikey.
And that's what we want. But I mean, that's what we're all going to be having at Christmas. You know, I guess the gym memberships are, you know, going to have to be renewed.
Definitely. I tell you what, in January, I'm saying this on air so everybody knows, so I've really got to do it. But they're doing this thing for charity in the UK, for which you probably heard, for not drinking in January. So I'm going to try and not drink in January,
really?
And not eat chocolates. I'll be very miserable.
How on earth are you going to do that? That's incredible.
Well, now you've just told me how much I'll be eating in December. I feel like I should. I'll just make the most of it. December.
Well, that's very noble of you. I mean, I tried to do a sugar-free diet, and I decided that, yeah, okay, well, you know, all this thing about sugar, yeah, well, let's see what happens. And, you know, it's so hard to do. It's really difficult because 80% of all the food we buy in the supermarket has sugar in it.
Mm.
You know, everything from bagels to ketchup. And, you know, I don't want to comment on that too much, but I can say that I think if you've got something like honey nut cornflakes or something, is it right to have, you know, that much sugar, you know, 30%, which is... It's almost a confectionery product, isn't it? Really?
It's wrong, and it's wrong because they're aimed at kids, aren't they, these cereals?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the nice thing about chocolate at Christmas is we can all just indulge. You know, this is Christmas time. Okay, sod it. Everything goes out the window. Let's have a drink. Let's enjoy ourselves and go for our favourite chocolate and go for all the things we've been told we're not allowed to eat all year
because exactly.
They're unhealthy, fattening, God knows what. No, that's it. It's my Christmas. It's my freedom and I'm going to do what I like.
Good for you. So what's your favourite chocolate then, Angus?
Well, we we make chocolates at Christmas. So like my son George and the girls, they join in. So we try and make our own chocolates, because I've got a little machine at home, and we do a little, we have some fun, we get some chocolate, we melt it down, and then we make it, and it's all a real mess, and it all go wrong. It's badly tempered, but they hand these chocolates to you, and their faces are covered, and their hands are covered, and they say, "Dad, we'd like a chocolate." You know what? That's made with love, and that is my favorite type of chocolate. You know, and but you get that in the industry. Like some of my customers, they really put their heart into making these wonderful products, and you know, it shows. These smaller producers are producing these beautiful artisan type chocolates. But I must say, a champagne truffle or a dark truffle. Oh, yes.
That's definitely
now. That's it. I want to sit back on the couch now and watch my favourite film. Yeah.
Tell me about it. Is there a difference? I mean, obviously, well, I think dark chocolate is less calories than light chocolate. Let's start with that, the milk chocolate. Is that correct?
Well, it's different chocolates will have different amounts of sugar in them. So the main thing about dark chocolate is it has a higher degree of cocoa powder in it, and perhaps slightly less milk, so it gives it that dark sort of color. Is it more healthy? Sort of, but your chocolate bar, nearly all chocolate bars are half fat and half sugar, unfortunately.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So, and actually 70% of all of us just say we don't want dark chocolate. We all go for the milk anyway, so we don't care actually about the health, and that's been proven. We had this really interesting report. It's from a conference that we did, and they went out and they videoed. They told these mums, dads, and you know, teenagers, and all sorts of people from all walks of life, we're going to give you an iPad, and off you go, and buy what you think's healthy, buy what you think is unhealthy, and then try it, and then tell us what you think. And it was so funny, because all this healthy stuff, they said they couldn't stand it, and they just wanted to eat and indulge. So it kind of proves that we eat chocolate just to enjoy ourselves and to let ourselves free. I mean, look at all the controls we've got in life. You know, it's just getting a bit much, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think at least chocolate, we can say, you know, that's it, I'm going to do this, and I don't care what anyone else says. I don't care about my speeding tickets or whatever. Whatever, whoever's at you at that time, you know, just sit back and you're free. You eat your chocolate and no one can take that away from you.
And it does give you the feel-good factor, doesn't it? There is something in it that makes you feel good.
Well, there is, actually. It's got phenols, so which really make you relax. So they call, and it comes from something called theobromine, which is like a natural relaxant. So what happens is when you eat chocolate, you're worried, oh my God, I'm going to put on weight, too much sugar. But then the phenols kick in and they make you relax. Oh, that's cool. I'll just be like a hippo. I don't care. So they kick in, and then you get the caffeine in the chocolate that makes you pretty addicted to it. And then you get sugar as well, which is also highly addictive. So if you want to make the most perfect product for people to get addicted to, then there you go, chocolate. I hate to say it, but you know, it's really the perfect product for people to enjoy. But sugar, you know, yeah, okay, I mean, this is my personal belief, but I've read a lot of reports, but I do believe it is quite addictive, so you know, that's my own take on it.
Yeah, I think I can agree with you there. And Angus, I did read somewhere that we might be going to run out of chocolate. Is that true?
There's lots of interesting reports on this one. A brilliant question. If everybody in China had a single chocolate bar, 100 grams, we wouldn't be able to produce enough chocolate. So you consider like the UK has 12 kilograms a year of chocolate, which is hundreds of bars, then we wouldn't be able to produce enough cocoa. Now, currently there is enough cocoa. However, there's another interesting fact has just come in, and which is crop failure. I don't know if you've heard of this, but you know, with these floods and crazy weather patterns and systems, well, if the tropics or there was a change in climate of 2.1 degrees, then we would have no chocolate.
Wow.
And we've just had in the UK in the last 20 years the hottest, you know, it's been the hottest period ever, but last 4 years have been the warmest on record, and so four of them. So I think, and I've heard like orange crops, you know, various other almond crops and things, not almond crops, but various other crops that are used as for the ingredients are becoming more damaged by weather systems. So there's another factor in. But for the moment, we don't need to worry about that sort of thing. No, okay.
Don't upset me. It's nearly Christmas.
And as long as you've got a good gin and tonic afterwards to wash it all down.
Oh, don't. Oh, yes. Do. Wonderful, wonderful. It has been an absolute pleasure to chat to you, Angus.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to tell everyone your book again. It's called Bittersweet, A Memoir, The Life and Times of the World's Leading Chocolate Taster. And you've got many websites. If you just put in Angus Kennedy, there's lots of things that come up. Do join me again in the new year. Probably not January, because we'll all be trying to lose weight, but maybe towards Easter we can chat again.
Yeah, we can chat again and see how we can lose it all. Yeah, again.
Try and put it back on at Easter.
Yeah. Oh, I'll help you with that. No problem.
Thank you very much, Angus Kennedy. Thank you.
Yeah, have a lovely Christmas.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye.